I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Italy's financial troubles got worse today, less than 24 hours after Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi promised to resign. The bond markets signaled their displeasure. The interest rate on Italian government bonds rose to record highs. Investors seem not to like the uncertainty about when Berlusconi will step down. Alexander Stilla is a professor at the Columbia School of Journalism. He's the author of the 2006 book, The Sack of Rome, How a Beautiful European Country with a Fabled History and a Storied Culture Was Taken Over by a Man Named Silvio Berlusconi. Alexander Stilla, the title of that book, shows just how long Berlusconi has been arranging his tenure as the head of Italy. You wrote that in 2006. He says he will resign, but he's proven to be pretty slippery. Is there some way he might end up not resigning, or you think this is for real?
Well, I think he'll resign in the short term. Whether he actually removes himself from the political scene in a more lasting way is very much of an open question. The predictions of Berlusconi's death have been premature many times, and he is a person of enormous energy, enormous conviction in himself, and unbelievable power. Even if he is no longer prime minister, he will still be the most powerful person in the country by a ratio of about 100 to 1 to anybody who's going to come afterwards because of his enormous personal fortune and the media access that he controls.
Right. Well, talk about that a bit. I mean, Berlusconi told Italian newspaper La Stampa that he won't run for office in future elections. Let's suppose he does mean it. He resigns. Even after leaving office, being the richest man in Italy, how will he use that power?
Well, the party that he founded and controls would presumably be one of the parties competing in the election. The person he's designated as his successor is a young lawyer who owes his entire career and fortune to Berlusconi. It's not like a normal political party where you have competing leaders who are vying for control. You have some of that, but they all work for Berlusconi essentially, so that even if he's not the guy on the ticket, he will be the power in that party. That party right now, because of the current government's poor record, appears likely to lose if polls taken now hold whenever elections are actually held. But Berlusconi will still have an enormous veto power in the society. He can create a lot of noise very quickly with the media machine that he has.
Right. Tell us more about that, because, I mean, media is part of the reason Berlusconi became such a powerful figure in Italy. Tell us what he has under his control.
Well, he has the three largest private TV networks. So imagine that you had ABC, NBC, and CBS all owned by the same person. Imagine that that person was rather like Rupert Murdoch and used those networks the way Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch use Fox News. Imagine that that person also controlled the other three national networks, which were the state TV networks, and also had the biggest book publishing house, the biggest magazine publishing empire, you know, Fidelity Mutual Funds, and all sorts of other business interests, and you begin to get an idea of how much power this person has.
Doesn't Italy have any antitrust laws that could have controlled Berlusconi through the last 20 years?
They're hopelessly weak. And Italians were very slow to wake up to this problem of conflict of interest. I remember as an American observer to this scene, I had endless conversations with people in the early to mid-90s about this and stress how important it was. And I tried to explain that it wasn't just an ethical principle. It would actually make governing impossible. And that's, in fact, what's happened.
You know, Berlusconi's personal behavior is a stark counterpoint to Italy's fabled history and storied culture that you reference in the title of your book. I'm wondering if Berlusconi showed the world, though, a little-known tawdry side of Italy that was always there and will always be there, or has Berlusconi now been around so long that he's actually eclipsed Italy's storied past, that, you know, the country is now permanently stained with his not terribly pleasant reputation?
Well, Berlusconi took things that were already existing in Italy. We mentioned before the lack of antitrust laws, the lack of conflict of interest rules. There's a long history of corruption before Berlusconi. Government interference in the economy, all these things exist. He took them to a whole new level and turned them almost into a philosophy of life, that it was somehow okay to grab what you could, regardless of the rules, if you could make it stick and beat the rap.
Alexander Stilla of the Columbia School of Journalism. His book is The Sack of Rome, How a Beautiful European Country with a Fabled History and a Storied Culture Was Taken Over by a Man Named Silvio Berlusconi. Alexander Stilla, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you for having me.